Last week we were in Turkey, or Turkey, eh? Is
Turkey
how we're supposed to say it?
Is that how it says Turkey, or is it
Turkey? So they want to switch it to Turkey.
Y-E or Y-I-T.
Y-E, so it's Turkey, eh? Because they don't like the, you know, turkey with like the bird and, you know.
The Thanksgiving thing?
I guess so.
I was thinking it was Turkey.
I thought it was Turkey, eh?
You're probably right.
Because I was like, well, that just sounds like Canadian then. Turkey, eh? Turkey, eh? But anyways, so last week we were in Turkey.
Well, yeah. One of the guys that was there, he was joking about getting a tattoo while he was in Turkey of a giant turkey with its wings outstretched on his back.
Yeah, that would have been a good turkey there, or a good tattoo there. But last week, that's where we were, you know, recording from a bus between stops. And Dad, it was a little funny because one of our guides, who is a good friend of ours, we had him on the podcast last week. He's a very intelligent guy.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of friction, though.
We had to make some corrections.
Healthy friction, I should say. And it was actually kind of a fun friction. And it was all over the word church.
There was other things
But a lot of it started, with the word church. Right. What does church mean? Mm-hmm. And Paul actually clears that up for us today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Well, on the fact that he just uses the word church, but the Greek word, though, behind this, I think we can talk about that.
We're bringing the friction from Turkey.
Yeah.
Here to the United States.
So here he is, friction between father and son.
Friction between the lines. Should we go ahead and read it?
Yeah, so you're listening to Between the Lines. I'm Scott.
I'm Junior.
And do you want to get started? You want me to? That's a short one, isn't it? A few verses.
That's right.
10 verses.
10 verses.
Okay.
This letter is from Paul, Silas, and Timothy. We are writing to the church in Thessalonica.
And by the way, Timothy eventually became the lead pastor. The interesting, not in Thessalonica. It was
But Thessalonica is in Greece, by the way.
Yeah, Thessaloniki. I don't know. I always said Thessalonica, but when I talk to Greek people, they say Thessaloniki. I think we have more conversations about how to pronounce words than just about anything.
Probably. It's fascinating, isn't it? We are writing to the church in Thessalonica, which is in Greece, to you who belong to God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. May God give you grace and peace.
So you already came across that word church there. Did you want to talk about it?
Yeah, why don't you?
You know, and where some of the friction came, because I think that what he was trying to do is he thinks that all Americans believe or see a church as being a building.
Yeah, you're talking about our guide in Turkey.
Our guide. His name is Omer. He's just such a great guy. So he kept saying it's not a church. There are no churches in Turkey, or you know, none of these seven cities that we're going through have churches. They were communities. The word means communities. Well, he was actually reading the Hebrew translation of the Greek, and then in his own head translating it into English, and he kept on emphasizing communities, which there's some truth to that. But you know, I also knew that when people were hearing this, they were hearing communities as in to, you know, the Ephesus or Laodicea, the whole community, and it wasn't to that. But it is cool when you actually do a word study on that word church. It literally is, and the word is ekklesia in Greek.
And it's a beautiful, actually, the background of it is because it's quite beautiful.
Yeah, it's awesome. And it was used in a very, an official sense by this time when Paul uses this, but Jesus, I think, is the first one who used it. Now, in a lot of ways, it's translated assembly, but Jesus said, I will build my assembly. And it was oftentimes used for the Sanhedrin, was referred to as an assembly as well, an ekklesia. And in fact, when Jesus was talking about what we would call church discipline, he says, take it to the assembly. I honestly don't think he was talking about the church per se, because there were no churches then yet. Nobody would have known what he's talking about. He was talking about take it to the courts, because the Sanhedrin was their courts. Yeah. So he said, at that point, if they won't hear you, then you can go ahead and finalize it with a lawsuit or by taking it to the court. But the word assembly, ekklesia, if you take those two words apart, it's two Greek words, ek meaning out and kaleo meaning called. And it has its roots going back to the Greek city-states when a page would go through town and he would call for all the citizens. And you know, those, it's not like in America where if you're born here, you're a citizen. Very few people were actually citizens. Even in Rome, not everybody was a citizen. And it was a great honor to be a citizen. So in a Greek city-state, maybe 10% of the population would have been actual citizens of the community. So the page would go through the streets, and he would call out all the citizens to come together for the assembly for making decisions, for governing decisions. So they're being called out of the town to come together. Well, Jesus uses that word to speak of his assembly, or what he called his church. Well, that is beautiful, because we are called out of the world to be part of God's special, unique people.
Yeah.
That's what the church is.
Yeah.
And so that was the controversy. Omar kept calling it a community, and I kept saying, well, it is a church, you know, but we don't think of church as building. We think of it as a gathering. That's literally what, you know, I guess the way we think of this. It's God's people who are a Christian community who gather together. All right, so we got that solved, right?
We're only one verse in.
Yeah, well, there's only 10 verses, so we had to use up the time,
true,
right?
That's true. We always thank God for all of you and pray for you constantly. As we pray to our God and Father about you, we think of your faithful work, your loving deeds, and the enduring hope you have because of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know, dear brothers and sisters, that God loves you and has chosen you to be his own people. So going back to that whole idea of ecclesia being called out, that's that idea of God has chosen you. And that should be something that should reign in our hearts as we go about our day, is that God is actually the creator of the universe has chosen me.
Yeah. It's funny. Jerry Seinfeld used to do a little stand-up bit on waiting in a dentist's office, and when they call your name, it's almost like, you know, it's just a line in the dentist's office,
right.
But you feel like, oh, I have been chosen.
It's my turn.
Get up and walk in to get your teeth cleaned. But then you think about this in the way Paul is using it, how much more it is a beautiful thing that he has chosen us to be part of his special people.
That's right. For when we brought you to the good news, which would be the gospel, it was not only with words, but also with power. For the Holy Spirit gave you full assurance that what we said was true. And you know of our concern for you from the way we lived when we were with you. Mm. You want to take it to verse 6?
Yeah. So you received the message with joy from the Holy Spirit in spite of the severe suffering it brought you. In this way, you imitated both us and the Lord. So by responding to the gospel and becoming followers of Jesus, that brought severe persecution. You know, and that's one of the things being in Turkey last week that you and I, what we learned is, you know, being in those actual places where these people lived and knowing that they were gathering together on a regular basis, feeling the full weight of the powerful Rome bringing upon them persecution. I mean, we have some people who have gone before us who are incredible.
Yeah.
And
great examples of our faith.
Yeah. All right. Verse 7, as a result, because they had responded to the gospel and became followers of Jesus and also followers of Paul, as a result, you have become an example to all the believers in Greece throughout both Macedonia and Achaia. And now the word of the Lord is ringing out from you to people everywhere, even beyond Macedonia and Achaia. For wherever we go, we find people telling us about your faith in God. We don't need to tell them about it. I mean, the reputation that they had, that they were so... they were examples of faith then to other people following the example of Paul. For they keep talking about the wonderful welcome you gave us and how you turned away from idols to serve the living and true God. And again, being in Turkey, we saw that idolatry, man, I mean, it was just rampant. And it was the whole community, it was their life, that their whole lifestyles were built around the gods and goddesses that they were worshiping. It was their community within that city.
Yeah.
But the Christians had turned away from that because it means genuine commitment to Jesus. And they speak of how you are looking forward to the coming of God's Son from heaven, Jesus, whom God raised from the dead. He is the one who has rescued us from the terrors of the coming judgment. So we don't have to fear judgment ahead. Yeah. Death is simply a transfer from this life into an even greater life.
Yeah. Now, there still is a judgment in the sense of rewards. Mm-hmm. And there will be, as we've talked about on this podcast before, at our judgment, there will be a sense of... missing out also on some rewards, but ultimately we are rewarded.
Yep. So. All right. So, well, you know what we're going to do?
It's the proverb for today?
No, we're not going to do Proverbs. We're going to do Lamentations instead. So we're going to do Lamentations today, Lamentations 1, and April Fools. I'm just hilarious. All right. We are doing Proverbs, and I love being back in Proverbs again after spending a couple of months in Psalms. And we're going to look at verses 2 and 3 of Proverbs 1, where he sets the stage for everything else that's going to be in this book. He said, the purpose of these Proverbs is to teach people wisdom and discipline. wisdom, meaning being able to make good decisions in life that's based on what makes sense from God's perspective, being able to see life from God's perspective and not just doing as you feel. And that's that next word, discipline. Discipline is the opposite of just acting on your feelings, but it's acting contrary to your feelings instead, doing what's right instead of what you feel like doing. And to help them understand wise sayings, and through these proverbs, people will receive instruction and discipline, good conduct, and doing what is right, just and fair.
Yeah,
that's why this book is here, and that's why we're going through it.
So good. All right. Well, today is National Firstborn Day, believe it or not.
That's your day.
Say what you appreciate, is what it says. Say what you appreciate about your firstborn.
Yeah. Well, I've got a lot to appreciate about my firstborn.
Yeah.
He's good. He's always been a lot of fun. Always been a joy from the time he was just a little toddler, himself way back then, long before he had tattoos. He was
we got
pictures of him with pen drawings all over his body. It started a long time ago.
Well, you might have less to say nice about me now.
Oh no,
when I say April Fools, National Firstborn Day. Well, mine was better. Yeah, I had to say it.
Yours was better than Lamentations. So that is good.
All right, April Fool's Day. Go have a good day today.
Yeah, have some fun with your family.
And remember, you are called out. You are the ecclesia. You are called out of the world you live in. You are called out of your office. You are called out of your neighborhood to be a representative of the Almighty God.
Yeah.
So act that way today. See you tomorrow.